لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. وقال الإمام التقي الجواد عليه الصلاة والسلام: الدنيا سوق ربح فيها قوم وخسر فيها آخرون. صلوات. We find that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam in Nahj al-Balagha is introducing the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam to the people, and the benefit of this introduction is that as long as the humankind ends up having the ma'rifat, they recognize the Imam, they can never be mutahayyir, they can never be dhal, never be misguided, never be confused, never get lost, and never miss the hadaf and purpose of the creation of humanity. Just like the Holy Quran itself is introducing the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and like I said earlier, the benefit of this introduction is our success, because the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are the only means available for the success of the entire humanity. Anyone else who turns away from the Quran and Ahlul Bayt has no way to succeed, neither in this life nor on the Day of Judgment, which is just a mirror and mir'at of the life in this world. You know, that's what we learn in the light of the Hadith of Safina, that Inna Mathala Ahle Bayti Fikum Ka Mathale Safinate Nuh Man Rakibaha Naja Wa Man Takhallafa Anha Ghariqa. The example, the parable of my Ahlul Bayt among you is that of the ship of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever got aboard that ship got succeeded, and whoever turned away got drowned. And we all know that in the ship of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, there were 80 people only, 80, and all the rest of the humanity got drowned. So when the Holy Prophet is giving the example of the Ahlul Bayt to be like Safinat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, I think that you cannot give an example more wadih and clear than this, that the only means of salvation are Ahlul Bayt. That's exactly what we learn. There is no other way to succeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows His creation the best. The human being, the maqam-e adamiyat, how the Ahlul Tafsir call it, you know, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When I make him and blow into him from my soul, you drop down into sajda. So our ulama of tafsir has mentioned that it is actually not Hazrat Adam who is the masjudul malaika, it is the maqamul adamiyya. It's the manzilat and maqam of insaniyat and the maqam e kamal of insaniyat, insan e kamil, which became masjud of malaika. So that's why the human being must remember that we have potentials. That's why our scholars say that the nutfa of a human being, you know, has such unlimited potential in it that if it is tamed and trained properly and provided with the Islamic tarbiyat and upbringing, this nutfa of a human can get converted into shajaratu tuba. What Quran has said, Varaballahu mathalan kalimatan tayyibatan ka shajaratin tayyibatin asluha thabit wa far'uha fis sama tu'ti ukulaha kulla heenin bi'izni rabbiha. You know, the example of a pure soul is like shajaratin tayyiba, a nice tree. Asluha thabit, its stem is stable and its branch is towards the rif'at and highness of the sky. Tu'ti ukuraha kulla heenin bi'idhna rabbiha, and it keeps on giving nice fruits with the izn of its Lord. So that kind of soul is always beneficial for itself and for the rest of the people around it. So there are countless benefits for that soul. So human being's soul has the potential of achieving the kamalat and kamal of insaniyat and reach the perfect levels of perfection and takamul. And that's the reason why we have been sent here. And the highest levels of this kamal had been achieved by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So they are the ones who deserve to lead the humanity, and they are the ones who represent Allah to all of His, in all of His names and all of His attributes. So we find that the hadith of Imam Askari alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam, that I recited in the beginning, where he says that ad-dunya suqun رَبِحَ فِيهَا قَوْمٌ. Dunya is a marketplace. Some people gained, benefited, earned from this marketplace. Just like you go to the marketplace, you find some people are making money, they make big deal, they have a lot of profit, they make a lot of profit in that day from the business, whereas some others couldn't make money. Maybe they have actually lost their money. They have lost even their seed money that they invested. Isn't that right? So Imam Jawad alayhi salam says that this dunya is a marketplace. رَبْحَ فِيهَا قَوْمٌ. Some people in this dunya got the benefit. وَخَسَرَ فِيهَا آخَرُونَ. And in this dunya some others lost. Because we have only one life, and there is no second life in this dunya. The second life belongs to the next world, and the second life in the next world is eternal, and there is no turning back, and there is no coming back to this world. And that's the reason why the humans have been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take benefit from this one and only life. So so we find that we can never lead our way towards success unless we get connected to, unless we are on the straight path, and we can never be on the straight path unless we get connected to the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And both of those two things have been considered as Sirat al-Mustaqim. Quran itself is also Sirat al-Mustaqim, and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and their walayat is actually also the Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is one and the same thing, because both are actually replicating each other. You know, they are, the Quran is in the form of Tadween, whereas Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are in the form of insan who is following that ahkam at-tadweeniyya, which are revealed in the form of a book by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the Quran and Natiq, and the talking and speaking Quran. The walayat of Ahlul Bayt itself is considered to be the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We have abundant hadith on that subject. As-Sirat al-Imam Ali al-Islam himself has said, "Ana as-Sirat al-Mustaqim." So I am the straight path. So as-Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam. So basically the walayat, the following the walayat of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam is actually the straight path, and that is exactly the path which the Holy Quran has commanded us, that we seek on every day, on daily basis, minimum 10 times in 5 time prayers, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us with the al-hidayatul takweeniyya towards the same straight path, that is the walayat of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, 10 times as wajib every day. This is the minimum. If somebody reads the mustahab prayers, then he says and he makes that dua more than 10 times. But what is wajib on every mu'min is to, as a minimum, to pray 10 times daily, "Oh my Lord, guide me towards the walayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Oh my Lord, guide me towards the walayat." The guidance is always there. The Prophet already came and told everything. But that's not what we are asking. We are not asking about the hidayatul tashri'iyya, which is open to all, even to kuffar and munafiqeen. Also, you know, have access to the hidayatul tashri'iyya, and the rules and the regulations of the sharia are not hidden on anybody, and are easily accessible for anybody who is serious. What we are asking is the hidayatul takweeniyya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on daily basis. So we find, because this human being has an endless potential, due to the fact it is nafqatun rabbaniyya, nafqatun ilahiyya, it's something that Allah blew into from his soul into Hazrat Adam. So this is فَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. This nafqatun rabbaniyya, so it demands from us, brothers and sisters, it demands from us that we take care of this nurani existence that has been confined in our bodies. I would like to give the example that Mullah Rumi had given. He says in his example, which is a very good example, he says that if you suppose that you know, the ducklings, the babies of a duck, ducklings are raised by a chicken. Let's suppose you put some duck eggs under a chicken, and the eggs are hatched, and now the babies, the ducklings, are born. So those ducklings are raised by a chicken, but as soon as the ducklings, those babies of ducks, grow older and they encounter water, they find water, they find some lake, they find some sea, some river, as soon as they find water, they start rushing towards the water, because they recall that we don't belong to the soil, we belong to water. So they recall their origin. Isn't that right? Despite the fact they have been raised on the soil. But that doesn't matter. As soon as they come back to their origin, they go towards the water. So that's exactly what is the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are trying to do with us. We are raised on the soil. Our soul is confined in a body which is made of soil. But our soul is malakuti. A soul's hometown is not the world of matter. It belongs to the Alamut Tajarrud, Alamun Noor. And that's why we need teachings from the Alamun Noor. And the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the Sufara, are the Wasatatul Faiz. They are the Wasata between the Alamut Tajarrud and Alamul Madda to provide us the teachings from the Ghaib which we have no access. And those teachings are the food for our soul that belongs to the same world from where the Ahlul Bayt came. So we should come out of the world of soil and the world of matter and stop giving preferences to the material world and its attachments and start giving preference to the soul. That's the whole purpose. As soon as a human being, just like the ducklings, as soon as they find water and they realize and they get out of those environment which was restricting them into the soil and they find the water, they start swimming. Nobody needs to teach them how to swim. That's part of their nature. Allah taught them according to the Hidayatun Takweeniyya that Allah has provided for all those animals. So this is exactly what Allah is trying to do with us, the human beings, to realize the haqiqat of our soul. For Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, Man arifa nafsahu faqad arifa rabbahu. Whoever recognizes his nafs, recognizes his Lord. So if we have the ma'rifat of the soul, what it is, we will end up recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Imam of our time. But then we have to consider the Imam as our muallim. We need to consider our Imam as our hadi and guide. We need to take him as a role model. We need to follow him. Just like what the Holy Quran has said, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ. This is a statement Allah is commanding to his messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that say, قُلْ, that means say, تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ, I recite upon you. Allah is commanding to the Prophet, say that I recite upon you what your Lord has made haram upon you. So our scholars of tafsir have mentioned that the word ta'alaw in Arabic, in the fasih language of Arabic, in the fusha, lughatul fasih, is never used when the audience and muhatab and the person who is the first person, mutakallim, who is speaking, when the first person and the muhatab, the third person, you know, the audience, are standing on the same level, you never use the word ta'alaw. Instead, in Arabic, we use the word ilayya. In the fasih Arabic, I'm talking about what the slang, street language is. I'm talking about the eloquent, you know, ilm of balaghat. So you never use the word ta'alaw. If you and your audience and mukhatab is standing on the same level, we never use the word ta'alaw in Arabic. We use the word ilayya. The word ta'alaw in Arabic is only and only used when the mutakallim, the speaker, is standing on a higher place. And the mukhatab, the audience, are standing at a lower place. So look at what Allah has said in the Holy Quran, commanding Rasulullah, قُلْ, that means say to them, ta'alaw. That means the Holy Prophet is standing way high, the highest possible level. He is there, of course, in the highest possible level, you know, because he himself has said, أَنَا وَعَلِي وَفَاطِمَا وَالْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنَ فِي حَضِيرَةِ الْقُدْسِ فِي قُبَّةٍ بَيْضَاء سَقْفُهَا عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Me and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein are in the Hadirat al-Quds. Hadirat al-Quds is the highest level of paradise, you know, and under the in the green dome, you know, in the white dome, Qubbatin Bayda Saqfuha Arshur Rahman Azza wa Jalla, whose ceiling is the arsh and throne of Allah. So Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are already on the highest possible place. There's nothing is higher. And now the Prophet is saying to the rest of the humanity, who are all of them are lower than them, and Prophet is on the highest level, and he's saying Ta'alaw, so come up. That means the audience is way down and they need to get elevated. How do we get elevated? By avoiding the harams in our life. Qul ta'alaw atlu ma harrama rabbukum. Say, come up, I recite upon you what your Lord has made haram. Unless and until the humanity stops doing the haram in their lives, they will never get elevated in their spirituality. We'll stay in the valley of zulmat and darkness. And that valley of zulmat and darkness will take us to become worse than animals. Because then we get stuck with the world of matter just like the animals do. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. That, you know, that's the other extreme. One extreme is that we can end up becoming shajaratun tayyiba. That's what I meant when I said earlier, you know, not shajaratuba, shajarat tayyiba. And the other extreme is becoming worse than the animals, because that's the way some humans are. They lahum quluban la yafqahuna biha. They have souls with which they don't think. Walahum ayunun la yubsiruna biha. They have eyes, but they don't see with those eyes. There are so many human beings who have eyes, but they're not seeing the ayat of Allah. They are blind towards the ayat. They deserve to be blind on the day of judgment. وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And they have ears with which they don't listen. They can be listening to all those lahw and la'ib, you know, plays and amusements around them, but when it comes to listening to what God has commanded, no. They are not ready to listen. In the name of freedom or democracy or human rights or whatever label we can put, that's our choices to justify our excuses. But at the end of the day, we are not listening to the ayat and commands of Allah. So these type of human beings who are not listening to what God has commanded and turning their blind eye to all that and their deaf ear to all that, Quran says أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. They are like cattle. These types of people are like cattle. An'am. Chahar payan, chopai. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. In the real sense, actually, these people are worse than, in the light of the verse, we understand that they are worse than the animals. So this is the second extreme, and in order for us to reach the high levels, we need to come up. Now, the guide has been introduced by Quran and Ahlul Bayt. The guide is the Imam of the time, isn't that right? So we need a role model. We human beings are fallible, we make mistakes, we need a role model to follow. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So Allah already provided a role model. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. The role model and the guide and the imam has already been defined. The path has also been set, what to do and what not to do. And so this straight path, which is the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now each single ayat of Holy Quran is like a step of the stairs. So every ayat that we follow in our life, we read, understand and follow its contents in our life, is serving like a step of the elevator, step of the ladder, that you are getting elevated by acting and practicing every single ayat of Holy Quran, and you are elevating yourself further, getting closer and closer and closer to whom? To the Imam of the time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. Who is standing on the highest possible place and who has already practiced all the verses of Holy Quran to its fullest. And now by following these verses, we are gradually getting elevated by avoiding the harams in our life. So if our soul didn't have the salahiyat and isti'dad and capability of getting elevated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never wastes his words. He never says anything which is useless and abas and purposeless. He is all wise. So when Allah is asking us to do something, it means that we have the capability to handle it. That's why we are commanded. We have the capability to get elevated. We are unlike animals. And also, not just that, but we should also remember that there is no room for anyone to say that these commands of the Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt are for the sake of joking. Allah is kidding. He is joking to us. There is no room for that. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. The Holy Quran, nothing of the teachings of Holy Quran actually are out of joking. It's the serious matter. Remember in the story of Prophet Musa, when he said to Bani Israel, when that historic massacre of a young bridegroom took place in Bani Israel, and everybody got stuck and they couldn't find out who is the killer of that bridegroom, and they finally came to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and Allah said to Prophet Musa to ask them to slaughter a cow. Isn't that right? And then, you know, the famous story in which we learn that, you know, any piece of the flesh should be touched with the dead person, and that dead person will himself wake up and inform you about who was the killer of that person. So that's the recipe, that's the solution that Prophet Musa provided to Bani Israel. When Prophet Musa provided the solution, the Bani Israel never followed Prophet Musa. They always looked for excuses to disobey. And this case was no different. So they said to Prophet Musa, "Atattakhidhuna huzuwa? Are you making fun of us? And look at the, that means, are you joking with us?" Look at the response of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين. قال أعوذ بالله. Prophet Musa said, أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين. I seek the refuge of Allah to be one of the jahileen. So the messengers of Allah never do the joking. When they are asking you to do something, they are doing the serious stuff. There is no joke. There is no joke in the teachings of the prophets and messengers and imams. So the teachings of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt are not a joking. There is a capability in the human soul to get elevated. The guide has been fixed. The path has been defined. The solution has been made clear to stop doing the harams and avoiding the sins and get elevated. And the benefit of the teachings is also made clear. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. So this shows us the benefit of those teachings. O you who believe, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول. That means respond positively to the call of Allah and the Messenger. إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. When he calls you towards something that makes you alive. So we learn that all the teachings of Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are the teachings that may give life to our ruh. If we want our soul to become alive with the nuraniyat, with the teachings of ghaib, then we need to realize that all the teachings that Quran and Ahlul Bayt have taught us actually give us life. And Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh was saying in his tafsir that basically this existence called the human being requires to live forever. It is there to live forever. Our soul is eternal. It will never die. There is no fana for the soul. The body will end up disintegrating and getting destroyed. But the soul is made to exist forever. It will be transferred from one place of living towards another place of living. The soul is therefore to live forever. That's how it is created. So basically, the life of the soul is due to the ahkam of the Sharia. If you follow the ahkam of the Sharia, that's how you will protect and safeguard the life for your soul. And if you don't follow the ahkam of the Sharia, this soul gets converted into what? It gets converted into firewood,
hatab, hezume jahannam, yani eendhan mein jalai jane wali lakdiyan.
Just like that. That's exactly what the Holy Quran has given the example, that basically the ittaqu, you know, keep away. An-nar allati, fattaqu an-nar allati waquduha an-nasu wal hijara uiddat lil kafirin. Keep away from the fire whose waqud is humans and stone.
Uiddat lil kafirin, which has been prepared for the kafirin. So this human being will turn into the firewood of the hellfire if
the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt are not followed, because those teachings are the ones which give it life, and if it doesn't have the life, then that's where it will end up with forever, because the soul is eternal. So by now we have learned that the guide has been fixed, the Quran being the law has been fixed, and the path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, has been defined. The recipe for the human success has been told, which is the ahkam of the Sharia. The benefits of the following the ahkam are also made clear, and not following the ahkam will have such and such result that the human will end up becoming himself as the firewood of the hellfire. That's also been told. So all the options are now on the table. Now the human is supposed to recognize the price and the value of his soul and be responsible in his choices. So Quran has said in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 186, أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَأَنْ عَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدْ اقْتَرَبَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. So this ayat of Holy Quran is a clear evidence that is emphasizing on us, the human beings, to think, so that we can discover, you know, about the malakut and the hidden realities of the heavens and earth. So it is in our reach, it is within our reach to discover the malakut and have access to the malakut and batin of the heavens and earth through the tafakkur and through seeking the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So Imam Sajjad, I'm coming to the end of my speech. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has mentioned, إن الله عز وجل علم أنه يكون في آخر الزمان أقوام متعمقون. Allah knew that in the final times, in the final time, there will be nations who have in depth, they will have depths. That means they will think deep, in other words. فأنزل الله تعالى قل هو الله أحد. So Allah revealed قل هو الله أحد. This surah has been revealed because Allah knew in the final time there will be nations who have deep understandings. They will be deep. So Allah sent down the surah of Qul Huwallahu Ahad, which is one of the deepest of all the surahs. That's not part of the hadiths I'm explaining. Wal ayat, and then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, and Allah revealed the wal ayat min surah al hadid ila qawlihi wa huwa alimun bi dhati sudur. And Allah revealed the ayat from Surah Al-Hadid, you know, till this ayat, وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. These ayat of Surah Al-Hadid have been revealed by Allah because Allah knew that in the final time, there will be nations who are deep. So they would be able to think and understand deeply. So that's why these great ayat
with so much great meanings, which are considered to be mizan of adl for judging all the aqaid and all the ara and anzar and viewpoints and beliefs. If we understand these ayat, we can judge all the beliefs easily according to the criteria and yardstick of these ayat. So ayatul Quran, all of them are like treasures. The hadith says from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, ayatul Quran khazain, the ayat of Quran are treasures. فَكُلَّمَا فَتَحْتَ خَزَانَةً يَنْبَغِي لَكَ أَن تَنْظُرَ مَا فِيهَا. Whenever you open up a treasure, it's appropriate for you to look inside it. So all these ayats of Quran, each and every single ayat of Holy Quran is a treasure. And whenever you encounter a treasure, we are humans, we have the capability to reach high. Why not think and use and benefit from the power of thinking, so that we end up having access to Malakutu Samawati wal Ard by using the power of tafakkur and looking into the khazain and treasures which are found in every single ayat of Holy Quran. But these ayat of Holy Quran can only be benefited from if you have the proper tafsir and proper ta'wil and proper guidance, which has to be told by the Imam. Unless and until you have the proper guidance from the Imam, you can never get the access into those treasures. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that talking about the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that fihim kara'imul Quran wahum kunuzur Rahman. That, in other words, the amanats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amanats of Quran are in the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and they are basically the treasures of Rahman. So we need to have the ma'rifat of the Imam of our time, so that we can understand those treasures found in each and every ayat of Quran. It's not easy to have that ma'rifat, because it's not easy to avoid all those harams, because it's not easy to overcome all the obstacles that are found in the way of doing talaq, giving divorce to this dunya. That's not easy. It's not easy, you know, just like becoming Habib ibn Mazahir and having the ma'rifat that Habib ibn Mazahir had towards the Imam of the time. The Kufa city was full of Shias, isn't that right? 24,000 letters sent to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. From whom? From those who claim that we follow Ahlul Bayt. 24,000 letters, not one letter or two letter. You know, if somebody sends you 24,000 emails, what would you think about him? 24,000 letters sent to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and people claiming that we follow you. Can you just rely on the lip service claim of the people that we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt? We are not silly to do that. Imam Hussein didn't rely either. He is the Imam of the universe. He is the Madhar of Ism of Al-Aleem of Allah and Al-Hakim, all-wise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should he rely? So he sent his deputy, Muslim ibn Aqil, to test the people. Maybe one of the reasons of sending Muslim ibn Aqil is to test the people of Kufa and their claims. Habib ibn Mudahir is not an ordinary man, and it takes extraordinary efforts to become an extraordinary person, because you have to overcome all the attachments of the soil and give tarjih to your ruh. Just like the ducklings, the babies of the ducks, as soon as they discover that here is the water, they quit this land and they forget about the land and they rush towards the water. They don't care about anything as soon as they discover their fitrat. And that's why the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt came here to remove
all the ghubar and dust that has settled over our aql and fitrat, which always guides us towards the tawheed. This is the ghubar and dust that has settled because of the attachments of this madda. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam had written letter to Habib ibn Mubarak. According to some of the scholars, they have mentioned the only person to whom Imam Hussain sent a letter and invited him. He doesn't stand in need of anybody. But this is the blessing, this is the lutf of Imam Hussain on Habib. Imam Hussain doesn't stand in need of anyone. He is the madhar of the ism of As-Samad, Beniyaz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the madhar al-akmal of the ism of As-Samad of Allah. Why would he stand in need of anybody or anything other than Allah? It's the lutf on Habib ibn Mudahir. Min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila al-rajul al-faqih. This letter is from Husayn, the son of Ali, to the person who is faqih, Habib ibn Mudahir al-Asadi. Habib ibn Mudahir. So Habib, the son of Mudahir. The letter came, Habib ibn Mudahir found the qasid, the person who brought the letter, and he opened up the letter. He recognizes the handwriting of his Mawla Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So Habib ibn Mudahir read the letter where Imam Hussain has said that we have been surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. Habib ibn Mudahir knows the relationship of Imam Hussain. How close Imam Hussain is towards Rasulullah. Habib ibn Mudahir has the ma'rifat of the Imam of his time, and he has the ma'rifat of Allah. He is an arif. He is an insan-e-kamil. He knows the relationship of Imam Hussain with Rasulullah. When Imam Hussain is a child and Prophet is praying his prayers in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and Imam Hussain comes over the back of Rasulullah, and Prophet was about to raise his back from the sajda, and Allah sends Jibreel, don't raise your head until Hussain comes off your back himself. You know the qarabat, how much relationship? What is the extent of qarabat and relationship of Imam Hussain towards Rasulullah? How much beloved he is? So Prophet ended up saying Subhan Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi in the sajda 70 times. And it became mustahab and part of the sharia that we can all say the zikr of sajda 70 times, because of the sunnah of Rasulullah that he said for the sake of Imam Hussain alayhi salam's, you know, for the sake of Allah commanded not to raise your head. This is the ihtiram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So this is the qarabat of Imam Hussain. When on the occasion of Eid, of course he said qurbatan ilallah, but this also shows the respect and ikram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And we find on the occasion of Eid, when Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain are two young boys and they are riding over the shoulders of the Rasulullah, and Prophet met somebody and he said to Prophet, what a nice carrier. The person who is carrying is Rasulullah. What a nice carrier for these two people. And Prophet replied to him, what nice passengers, that what nice raqib, what nice people who are riding over my shoulders. Look at the qarabat of Rasulullah. How much qarabat and relationship and closeness Prophet had towards Imam Hussain. So Imam Hussain said, according to that narration, wa anta ta'lamu qarabati min Rasulullah. And you know my qarabat with Rasulullah. If you can come and join us, come. Habib ibn Mudahir took the letter of his Mawla. What is the best opportunity to achieve the Jannat and Paradise? He entered into his house. His wife was there and she asked, whose letter is this? And Habib ibn Mudahir replied back, "It's the letter of my Mawlai Hussain ibn Ali." What did Imam Hussain say in the letter? And he said, "Imam Hussain has mentioned that I am surrounded by the enemies. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come and join us," in other words, come. So his wife said, "What are you thinking about?" Habib says, "I am thinking about you. What is going to happen to you if I go and sacrifice my life?" According to some narrations, this lady, this mu'mina, she threw her chadar over Habib. And she said, "You are thinking about me? And you're not thinking about the son of Fatima al-Zahra? If you are not ready to go, I will go myself to sacrifice my life on Husayn ibn Ali." Habib said, "How can it be that my Mawla is asking me and I don't go for the help of my Mawla? It's not going to happen. I was just testing your situation." He sent his ghulam. The Kufa was surrounded by the army of Ibn Ziyad. But Habib ibn Mudahir managed to reach, you know, when there is a will, there is a way. When there is an ikhlas, Allah always helps. Habib ibn Mudahir managed the way, and when in Karbala on the other side, we find Imam Hussain alayhi salam was distributing the ra'yat, the parcham, the alam among different ashab. You know, one alam belongs to Musnad ibn Awsaja, one belongs to other, each and every of those Zuhair and Sa'id and all those companions. But he put aside one of the alam. He did not distribute one alam. And somebody asked, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, you did not distribute that alam to anyone." And he said, "The person who deserves that alam," in other words, "he is about to arrive." And they find Habib ibn Mudahir arrived. After a while, he arrived. And Hazrat Zainab, when, you know, everybody welcomed him. And Hazrat Zainab, when she heard the voice that somebody has arrived, she sent Hazrat Fidda to find out that who has come. And we find who has arrived. So because up till now, Hazrat Zainab has been listening that this lashkar and this army of Ibn Ziyad has arrived. And this army of the enemies have arrived. But this time, she wanted to know who has come. So she sent Hazrat Fidda, and Hazrat Fidda came back and said to her that this is Habib ibn Mudahir. You know, Habib ibn Mudahir is the friend of Imam Hussain since his childhood, from those days. You know, we find when Hazrat Zainab heard that statement, she said to Fidda, "Go and say my salam." The riwayat says that Habib ibn Mudahir, when Hazrat Fidda came, he sat over the soil, the ground of Karbala, and he started to pick up the turbat and soil and put over his head. That my lady Hazrat Zainab has sent salam to this servant.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون وإنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the soul of the marhuma.
What's her name?
Saleha.